put that button right there to turn it on when you're ready.
Don't let your computer go to sleep.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here. I'm excited to share about what we're doing at Wilderness Way Girls Camp. Phil reminded me. Jay, there you are. Good morning. I was looking for you when I came in. I was like, where's this guy at? Just what we're doing down there. And I've gotten to know Phil and Lisa well. Phil cracks me up. I don't know, for those of you who know, I mean, they're always laughing or smiling. We go to the same church in the area that they do, so I've gotten to know them well. Just to give you a little background, we are in South Carolina. The property that we are on is where the boys' camp started some 40 years ago, and then 10 years into it, they needed a bigger property, so they moved to where they're at now. So that's why we are in Fairplay, and they're not. I just have a... I have a video here that I'll see if I can get going. Get this going.
Got it. Very clearly, as you come to camp, the doors for other things shut that I was interested in, and camp just swung wide open. My name is Ashley Londo. I have been at camp for a little over 2.5 years.
My name is Andrea. I'm a board supervisor here at camp. I always like working with people. I've kind of been drawn towards working with people that have part-time work on their own issues. I want to speak for social work, but I also love the outdoors. So when I found out that there was such a thing as Girls Camp and that it would be a good way to work with people, I thought I'd give it a try.
Just the amount of things that I've learned and the friends that I've made. Like, camp staff is one of a kind, and we're each other's support team, and so we build into each other so much. You can't rely on yourself. You have to rely on God. And so just living that out every day through every tough situation it stretches you as a person, and it makes you realize you can do things that you didn't think you could do before.
I was interested in going to the yes, but I didn't know where. I was like, well, here's my yes in the Lord, because I was wanting to do something more with my life.
It wasn't that easy though.
No, it was actually pretty hard. My mom would, I'd say, go through a whole lot of just, yay, I don't want to do this. I'm not supposed to do it, I don't want to. And like this complete turmoil the whole time I was trying to figure out what to do, because I knew it was going to be the hardest thing I could ever do in my entire life. The growth that I've seen in myself personally is exciting. Sometimes it's a little frustrating because it's like, well, I'm doing the same thing that my girls not to do anything. But just realizing that we're all humans, we're all the same. Yeah, we all come from different backgrounds, but we all deal with the same human problem.
I found that it's been extremely challenging, which is one of the things I was looking for. Some days you wish that you had been feeling so challenging, but looking back at it, there's absolutely nothing to change about it. I've learned so much about myself and about God being here, and just being pushed into a really challenging.
When I came to visit, I remember I walked down the trail and got to see campsite for the first time. Got to see my group was, well, not my group then, but they were huddled up and getting ready to go into some meal time. And I just looked at them and they just kind of took me to my heart right the first time I met them all. And I said, no, I'm supposed to come here. Has it been easy since? No. Has it been the hardest thing I've ever done? Yes. But I just have this feeling that I'm supposed to be here. And it's a lot of fun and a lot of hardness, but it's people say it'll be worth it, and I think it will be.
Yeah. It's very fulfilling work. It's really awesome. I don't know really how. Camp is kind of a hard thing to explain. I have to be here and experience it to really get.
One thing that's
really benefited our camp over the years is young people, people who have volunteered a portion of their lives to come and work full time. Some of these are chiefs, some are cooks, some are service personnel, helping around camp. All these things are ways that help us minimize our expenses to where we can divert funds to the program.
Camp is such a wonderful place. I think a lot of people tend to write it off and say, oh, I'm not cut out for this job. This isn't for me. It's too hard. I would really challenge people to, you know, give it a second look. I know that every single person I've ever asked about it said that it was a decision that they would never regret.
Somebody who's interested in coming to camp, what would you say to them?
Come right away. Don't hesitate, because sometimes it might look like, oh, we don't need help, they got out of control, but we need help. And the more people you can have putting in, the better. Whether it's a chief or whether it's support staff, like a cook or something like that, there's always opportunities to put into the girls, and they love it so much. And whether they're grateful for it in the moment, maybe not, but they are in the end. And being able to see them impact, being able to impact them, see them grow, come from a place of darkness, a place of hope and light. Like, there's no way that I will miss that.
Prepare yourself to be loving people in a way that you're going to be scared. Because you know they're not going to be part of your life for the rest of your life, and they are going to work themselves into your heart very fast. Like, every person comes, you know, some of the girls become about the same time I did. And so being able to see who they were and the progress they made over 6 months is just really incredible, and just daily being able to see and feel God working. It's just pretty incredible.
Do you recommend?
So that kind of gives you just a look into camp a little bit. So as I was mentioning, and as Trula alluded to, we are Wilderness Way Girls Camp. We're one of 8 different camps that follow the therapeutic camping model. We are actually one of 2 girls camp that are part of the association. The other is Duncan Girls Camp in North Carolina. They're connected with the Cameron Boys Camp, which is run by the Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina. So, I guess most of you know, but for those of you who don't, we're in the northwest corner of South Carolina, tucked right below the Appalachian Mountains, or Appalachian, as they call it. It took me a while to get used to that. Surrounded by our counties, we're about 15 minutes from Georgia, half hour from North Carolina. If you drew a line between Atlanta, Georgia, and Charlotte, North Carolina, we'd be smack dab in the middle, right near the Clemson Tigers, for those of you who know who they are. They had a good game last night. So the mission statement, one other thing I forgot, our county has some awesome scenery with those mountains. We also have 30-some waterfalls just in our county alone that you can hike to, go swimming at. Several lakes, so it just makes a really beautiful backdrop for what we do at camp, for exploring and some of those things for our groups. But our mission statement is to bring help and hope to hurting girls and their families. I do the maintenance at the girls' camp, and so I'm not in the day-to-day things, in the trenches as sometimes it's called, with the campers, but I hear some of their stories, and I mean, we help girls ages from 10 to 17, and when you hear of a girl who had something that she went through at a young age, and so for a young age, for a 12-year-old is 5, 6, it kind of hits you a little bit of why that we are in a broken world. Heaven is coming, and that will be perfect, but this world is not. It's a reminder. So kind of what happens is a family gets to the end of their rope. They don't know what to do anymore. They have tried counseling. They've tried medication. So they find out about our camp. They contact us. They come. They visit camp. The girl sees it, and she chooses to come. We're not a prison. We don't put bars up. But they choose to come. They choose to be part of the camp. And a typical length of time is a year and a half for a camper to be at camp. But give me a little bit more history of our camps. Back after World War II, there was a group of men in Dallas, Texas, who saw that the juvenile system was filling up, saw, you know, schools were having a lot more trouble with kids, and partially due to the lack of fathers from World War II. And so they got together with a gentleman by the name of Campbell Lockmiller, who helped them develop a summer camp. And the story goes that they went into the juvenile system and the school and said, give us all your worst kids, and we want them for the summer. And they said, here you go, take them. And so over the summer, they found that removing kids from all those distractions and putting them in an outdoor setting, over time they start to realize, you know, if they're building a tent structure together, I'm good at something. And you build their self-worth, their self-confidence, and sometimes you can deal with the harder issues inside. And so out of that, they realized, hey, we need to do something year-round. And that birthed the year-round therapeutic camping, that model that all of the eight camps would follow. One of the interesting things was the Dallas Cowboys actually sponsored that camp, and that's about the only thing I like about the Dallas Cowboys. So our camp, we have two groups. We have the Trailblazers and the Pathfinders. And a girl comes to camp, and they're placed in a group of 8 to 10 girls, and they have two chiefs, and they live down in the woods in their campsite year-round. The chiefs are with the campers 24/7, so they do have their off duties, but there's always a girl with or a chief with the campers. And then we use that setting in the outdoors to reach the girls. I've heard it mentioned that camp is like a mathematical fraction. You reduce it down to its simplest form so that you can deal with some of the most complex issues in life, whether that be sexual things or, you know, physical abuse, mental abuse, neglect, you know, whatever that is. But the chiefs are kind of like parents. I still think it's funny how you can take a 21, 22, 23-year-old young lady, two of them together, and give them 8 to 10 dysfunctional youth and say, here, live in the woods and thrive and grow and learn. But it works. It's God in that. It's a staff in that. And together we can do that. But obviously it's different from girls to boys. But girls, there's a lot more emotions with it. Some people, it's a funny thing, but it's a reality. And our chiefs help our girls differentiate between feelings about herself that are true and that are lies. Like a lot of girls come with zero self-confidence, zero. They think they're ugly, they think they're stupid, they're no good, why would anybody want them? But you look at their background, and all of a sudden it makes sense. Like, I was, you know, fill in the blank there, but I also camp. A big part of it is problem solving, learning that when the problem comes up, I don't just clam up and go in my room and cut myself, or I don't run away from the problem. But we deal with it. We work through it. And together as the group led by the chiefs, they walk through that. And sometimes it gets pretty deep. But the girls learn to work together as a team. Some people ask about education at camp. And, you know, how these girls, do you remove them? Well, reality is most girls are pretty far behind when they get there, so we can't do much worse. But we have a teacher on staff that works with them, but they learn math skills, writing, critical thinking. They always, 2 days a week, they are cooking in their campsite, so they're writing menus, and they have to use mathematics how many cups of this do we need, and dividing it for this, multiplying it for so many people, and without realizing it, they do math because they don't want to go hungry, and they want to have the right amount, not too much salt, you know, spoil it. So they do menu planning, trip details when they're planning for some of their big trips. They have to figure it out. How many miles a day do we have to go to go 200 miles on this river? and all those things. They also, every week, they write articles, so they're learning how to, you know, spelling, punctuation, sentence structure, all those things. And then obviously one of the big things is tent building. I have some samples out in the back, but when they build tents, they have to draw them to scale on sketch paper, and then they build a model, and then that model is scaled to size for their actual tents. And the two out there is ones that they just, two of the groups just completed, so give you an idea of that. Also a big part of camp is trips. Groups go on 3 to 4 week canoe trips, bus trips, hiking trips. And so with the setting we're at right there in South Carolina with the mountains, the Foothills Trail runs through there and the Chattooga River. And so there's a lot of beautiful places to go hiking, as well as if they want to go on into Georgia or up in Tennessee or something like that. But once again, trips, the girl has to calculate, you know, for a canoe trip, they have to calculate how much weight to a canoe, and they have to distribute everything, and once again, they're learning math and those skills. But one of the coolest things I think about trips is that it provides an atmosphere for the camper and the chief to bond. If you've ever been on a week trip or backpacking weekend or something, you really get to know the people you're with, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It allows them to speak truth then into the camper's life when they get to that point where they can share. Now, I think that's one of the coolest things of camp is how, you know, sometimes a girl will push and push a chief away. They will chew them out. They will cuss them out. They will spit on them. They will hit them, whatever it is, in an effort to try to push them away from themselves because they really just want to know, can my chief handle what I'm dealing with inside? If they're just going to leave when it gets hard, I'm not going to worry about it. But we've seen a lot, and I've been told this. I've only been there 2-3 years, but that a lot of times when a girl gets to that point, when a chief's like, I don't know what to do anymore. Everything I do, I get chewed out. They're at the end of their rope, and the supervisors and the directors are like, hang in there. Just hang in there. It'll get better. And typically, that girl will then realize, I can't get rid of this chief, so I might as well get used to her. And then they begin to share. And the cool thing is, it's not, sometimes it's the chief, but a lot of times the chief will incorporate the group because the group, and essentially parents themselves, you know, the group will put in, and that's when they learn that they have a voice, that their opinion matters, that, hey, I actually have some good ideas sometimes. Unlike people that said, I'm stupid all the time, and I'll amount to nothing. And they begin to build that self-confidence as they help themselves grow as a group. And a lot of times chiefs are just facilitators of that. But all that to say, isn't that sometimes what people do with Jesus, that they push him away, but no matter how much you push Jesus away, when you call on him, he's there. And to have that as an example then for the girls, how the chiefs can say, you know, I'm still human, even though the girls usually think chiefs are like perfect and they can't mess up. They do sometimes, but then a chief can say, no, God, this is what God and Jesus can do in your life. He will always be there no matter how much you try to get rid of him. But when you call on him and want to have a talk out, he'll be there for you. So I think that's one of the coolest things. Probably one of the hardest parts of a chief's stay at camp, but probably one of the most rewarding. I talked a lot about just chiefs at the camp, kind of give that overview, but there's also a lot of other staff. We have cooks. That's a big part. I often like to go and make sure the kitchen's working fine and make sure the sweet tea's being taken care of and all that stuff. I take that upon myself to do that. But we have two cooks right now. We'd love to have a third cook. So if any of y'all know someone that's looking to do volunteer service anywhere, a third cook would be nice. We also have a service coordinator. She does a lot of our decorating for camp and keeping it festive, and she decorated for fall before I left, and it's probably the most beautiful time of the year. We're looking for a kind of like an office assistant. I'm not really sure what the official term is, or title is for that, but someone to help answer phones, put receipts in of all the stuff I spend, and just helping do documents and just being willing to help in our office and with that. All our staff is important, and it takes, like I said, with those chiefs, when they get into the trenches, as we call them sometimes, it takes a good support staff. There's nothing like, they would say, of coming up trail after a wet, rainy, damp day like this and having some hot soup and chuck wagon. And it just kind of helps lift spirits and seeing it decorated and things as well. We also have, to support camp, we have 5 thrift stores that support it. In the last 5 years, there's been a gentleman that's come in and has helped turn them around. They weren't doing the best, but they've really started to do really well. And so now they've kind of plateaued a little bit. And so we're looking to have 1 or 2 guys and girls to come and help with that. If you want to come back down, you're more than welcome to. For the guys, it would be just doing pickups and some of the heavy lifting. And then also 2 to 3 days there, then 2 to 3 days at the camp helping me do maintenance. Not that I don't want to do it anymore. It's just there's plenty to do. And then with the girls, it would also be 2 to 3 days at camp and that, or 2 to 3 days at the thrift store, depending which was the most required one at the time. If there's a special event, we have our Turkey in the Hole in the fall. That would be one that they'd help with that. So. And also, obviously, we would love to have chiefs. And I feel like our Anabaptist background really meshes with camp, because camp is thrives on structure, it thrives on hard work, and it thrives on community and reliance on Jesus. And I feel like those things dovetail so well, and I think we have such a rich heritage to share. Some of the girls that come have no concept of work, no concept of community. They're all about themselves, and they make it known. So if you have an interest in coming to serve at camp, please let me know. To be a chief, you need to be 21 or older, and for the other positions, it'd be 18 or older. And for chiefs, we do ask for a 2-year commitment, just so that there's a level of consistency in the girls' lives at camp. Camp is a place where these girls come, and I'd say God has a plan for everybody's life, and sometimes these girls are so far removed from that, but then camp can come in and point them back in the direction that they're to go, or if they choose that they don't want to go that direction, still give them the tools that when they decide that, they have the tools to do that. So I just have some pictures here that I'd like to go through yet. And seeing there's beautiful scenery in the area. The backpacking trips. This was a recent picture of one of our groups that went to the Outer Banks. It's really cool how a chief, if she is interested in something, like history or just likes going to the beach, she gets her group excited. If they go to Charleston, they see something, hey, the H.L. Hunley is in Charleston. That's the first submarine. Let's learn about the Civil War, Fort Sumter. And they camp provides a place where they see something they can learn and get to explore that. Some of the many waterfalls and hiking in the area. There's a lot of excitement at camp sometimes and emotions. It's when a group comes back from a trip and chuck wagon, I tell you what, mouth is running. Sometimes I sit there at our at our staff tent. I'm like, I can't even follow these conversations. But it's so good to hear the energy and the excitement, because sometimes these girls never had that in their lives. One of the funniest things, I think, or the coolest things, another cool thing about camp, is a girl will come to camp and her arms will be crossed. She's not going to let you get to know her at all. And then as time goes, you know, maybe later she'll have her kind of walking around like this, still kind of protecting herself. But then after she's there for 3, 4, 5 months, she'll be singing along with the rest of the group. And so you can kind of tell who the newer ones are by that. Got to run the Great Smoky Mountain Railroad. That was a highlight for a bunch of the girls. Go sing at Big Park Campus, the trips. They get all their equipment out, they pack it up, they figure out how much is going in each canoe, weight distribution. Parents, try to think about taking a 3 to 4 week trip with your family. That's essentially kind of what it would be like. I think these pictures are one of the group's our camp's favorite places to go. It's the Suwannee River in Florida, and the Suwannee River, they do about 200 miles, and there's a lot of freshwater springs that flow into the Suwannee. And so here, the picture on the right-hand side is of a manatee that they were canoeing over. There are some, I think, sea cows is what I think they call them. But there's also alligators, I will say that. Set campsite on a trip. In our fall, every year we do a community turkey in the hole event. We put about 20-some turkeys in the ground, and I think that's some of the best turkey I've ever had. Just sometimes we put a little fake rubber chicken in some of the turkeys when they're pulling out and cleaning them and stuff, and the girls will freak out, "Ah, it's a chicken! You killed a mother!" This is our library/schoolhouse. This is where the groups will plan for trips. They'll do schooling. They'll figure out how to build their tents. Singing is a big part of camp, and girls learning how to play guitar or ukulele or piano or something. Skits are usually very interesting. Oh my. Then when you hear the term down trail, they get 3 to 4 times up and down trail. So I forget how many, I think somebody said how many miles the camp or girls usually walk in a day. This is the campsite. This would be their sleep circle, the tents. All the tent structures in their campsites they build, not every year, but every year or so they try to build one tent so that the campers can take ownership of it. And all those, that whole structure, they cut down the trees, they debark them, they notch and cut them and put them in place. Their tool tent with all their tools that they use, hand drills. Their tents, they don't use nails, screws. Well, I do sometimes when I fix stuff, but they would use pegs and hammer them in and drill it out, peg it, and cut it off. The chuck tent with their food. They all have in the winter. Some people ask, do they stay warm in the wintertime? And I walked in their tent for supper one night when they invited my wife and myself, and it was like 85 degrees, and it's like. So, like I said, 2 days a week they eat in their campsite. So the girls learn to make their menus, and they there's some good meals. They make some of their cinnamon rolls and peach cobbler and blueberry cobbler in their Dutch ovens. And if you haven't noticed, I like food. I like to show up around strategic times. Dutch ovens there on the left-hand side. But it's one of those things of ownership. If a girl plans a good meal, makes a good meal, and serves it, and everybody's like, hey, that was really good, that it starts to build that self-esteem a little bit in the girl where pretty much was depleted. This is a chief and a camper is starting to build the beginnings of a tent. So the drawings there is their 3D sketches of the tent to scale on graph paper. And then they'll take that, and once it gets approved by the supervisors, they will start building a model so they can see if anything's going to, if they need to fix anything. And once that's okayed, they will make a materials list, go out into the woods, and hunt for pine trees that are the right size. So it's, you begin to see the amount of work that gets put into a tent. I think this last one, and you can see the structure out there, I think they had to get, the trailblazers had to get about 80 some poles that they had to cut them, get them down, debark them. I think this is when they celebrated getting their last 80th pole for their one tent. Speaking of giving ownership, you know, if you rent a house, you're not likely to take care of it as well as you are as if you own a house. And so if a camper comes and just doesn't really care about anything, nobody, and she just doesn't really care about building her tent, and her tent goes up and it's not well built, she's the one that's going to live in it. And so suddenly they're like, you know what, maybe I should start thinking about others and working with people and not just about myself. Every night they end with powwow. They'll sing a song and then they'll talk about their day, evaluate, did we do well today? We did terrible today. What can we change to do better? And it's really time just to look at their problems and say, hey, how can we progress? And that's the time when the chiefs can really put into the girls in a time of growth. And that's our director, Bill Collins. Chief Bill, I think that picture just picks him well. He didn't want me to put that in, but I did. Bill has been there for about 10 to 12 years, doing a good job. So top left, there's Miss Denise. She's our secretary, and she's does phenomenal. And bottom right is Miss Gaby. She's from Indiana, and she is our service coordinator, decorating and making it homey. Miss Lisa there in the middle, she's designated by the county to help us, and she's been working with, I think it's her term, or at-risk youth is what she would say, for the last 20 years. And sometimes when I hear her dialoguing with the girls, I'm like, man, that's like great parenting advice. It's myself and my sister, Lena. She came last month to be a chief. And just walking down the trail. And, you know, all of us have a trail, a path or a trail we're walking on. We either choose it by default, or we choose another trail to go on. And all of us are traveling on some path. And so we would love if that would lead you to the girls' camp. But we pray for the right staff to come to camp. So if you're the right staff, we're praying for you. And if you're not, well, we're not really praying. We'd still pray for you, but not intentionally. So that's kind of what I have about camp. I think there's one more. No, that's it. So if you have any questions, we'll be around. I think y'all have a fellowship meal, and I'm not going to turn down a meal. So, but if you have any questions, you can talk to me then. But I have. You know what? Can I have a volunteer? Can I have? I kind of threw this on you. I don't mind picking either. I will pick. Nobody makes eye contact with me. I see how it is. All right. I know you. I can't pick you. I know you. You want to come up?
Can you think you can fit your body through this paper? If you tear it, but you have, like, if you cut a hole in this, do you think you can fit through it? You want to try? No? Okay, you can sit down. Thanks for being a good sport. Sometimes in life, we look at things that are impossible for us. I tried it. I couldn't fit through either. I figured somebody maybe a little smaller than me. I know I have such broad shoulders. If sometimes we look at something and we're like, there's no way that is possible. But there's a girl that comes to camp. I don't know how this girl is going to get help here. You know, you're like, she has so many issues. She's on so many medications to medicate her issues that are really not issues. They're just issues because of medication and it's, you know, all that. But when we allow God to work, when we allow him to start doing something and we're like, what is he doing? Something that we were like, I'm clueless about this. And we begin to see him doing something and we question him, God, why are you doing something like this? This is a hard time in my life. And you see him cutting away at things and you're like, I don't know. I see some people know what I'm doing already. You know what I'm doing already? Might be my next volunteer. Sometimes we question, we ask, God, I don't know. And if he's cutting certain things out in our life, it really hurts. But isn't that where faith comes in? We trust that God knows what he's doing, that he created us, he knows us better than we know ourselves. You can come up here and be my next volunteer. So we see that same paper. God takes that piece of paper. I forgot to cut that one. I forgot to cut all these. Give me a second here. You can just stand there and feel kind of awkward. Sometimes the process of God doing stuff in our lives takes a lot slower than we think. And I guess you get to see the... I think that'll work. So then you see that piece of same piece of paper, and you realize, now can you get through that without breaking it? I'm through it. There you go. Thank you. So that same piece of paper that we thought was impossible to go through, that hard thing was impossible to go through, it's not that God completely removes it from our lives. He makes it in a way that says, you know what, here's how you get through it, and he still leaves it up to you. These girls that come to camp have a free will. They have a choice to say, you know what, I'm going to work on this, or I'm not going to step through. It's open to step through, but... They get to choose to do that or not. But that's why I say sometimes camp gives them the tools, and even God gives us the tools in life to walk through hard times, and he doesn't take those hard times from us. But just remember, what's impossible with man is possible with God. So thank you for listening to me, and I hope you've got a glimpse of camp and maybe sparked some interest for you.
Because if anybody has questions, I'll be in the back. So let's pray, and then Drew, I'll turn the time over to you.